Let us pray. Father, again, we come before you as we prepare to open your word and remember that night in that little town we just sang about so many years ago, Father. But that began the journey and the process and the love that we feel following your way. Lord, we acknowledge this morning, Lord Jesus, that you are God the Son, that you came, that you lived a sinless life, that you taught us all that God wanted us to know, and Father, that you allowed Christ to die in our stead to take the punishment that was necessary for the sin that we commit. But Lord, it did not stop there. That empty tomb shows us that you have given us eternal life. And Lord, as we remember this morning the manger, let us never forget the cross or the tomb. We thank you, and in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, as I was trying to prepare for the sermon this morning, Christmas sermon, we've had a whole month of Christmas sermons. We've had the stories of the shepherds and the wise men and Gabriel coming to visit and Herod and all the evil things he did. We've gone over this before. But the main thing that we cannot forget is, as some people say as a cliche, the reason for the season. You know, in the Old Testament, when God gave the Passover to the Jewish people, one of the things that was commanded by God for the father of the family to do is, when the children ask, "What do these things mean?" when they were sitting at the Passover, the father was instructed to tell the children and the family all these things, why they were. Well, that's what we want to talk about this morning. Why Christmas? Why do we celebrate? Why do we have lights and wreaths and candles and all these things? Why do we do this? Well, we do it, in a nutshell, to commemorate and celebrate the incarnation of God as man in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is to Him that we owe loyalty and obedience above all other things, above even our own families. We owe obedience and loyalty to Him because He is the one who reconciled us to God through the cross. It is He who died in our stead, rose from the grave to give us eternal life, and who will return soon enough to judge the living and the dead. And all I can say to that is praise be to Him forever and ever. Amen. But why do we celebrate His birth in the way that we do? Because it is important. The resurrection and reign of Christ as King of Kings are the most important, for without them the birth is insignificant. However, the manger is the starting place for we as Christians, the people of God in the new covenant. And we need to remember that. The manger without the cross and empty tomb is just a food trough, honestly. Yet with the cross and empty tomb, the manger holds the hope of all the world. Now, how did this all come about? Luke 2 tells us, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And of course, we go past there, we read about the angels and the shepherds going into Bethlehem that night, and people were amazed. But I want to concentrate specifically this morning on the child that was given to us that night. What we just read were the facts of Jesus' birth. And we've previously, as we said, discussed all the things surrounding it, the shepherds, the wise men, etc. But we must never lose track of the thought that it is this child, this Jesus that was born to Mary and Joseph, that holds our eternity in the palm of His hand. Now, why was Jesus born? What made God send Him to this earth to be one of us? Well, the Apostle Paul gives a very clear answer to that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. And it says this, Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. On that night, long ago, in the quiet little town of Bethlehem Ephrathah, near Jerusalem, God the Son came into this world to teach, forgive, heal, save, die, and give eternal life to those who believe in Him through His resurrection. The Son of Man had been born of a woman. We can see the prophecy of that in Genesis 3:15, where God is addressing the serpent who had just beguiled Eve in Adam's sin. And God told the serpent, you know, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. Notice He didn't say His or Adam. He said her, pointing to the virgin birth. He was born of a woman within the house of Israel. And we know that through Israel is where the Messiah, not only of Israel, but the one who would teach all the nations would come. He came to redeem, save who were all that were under the law. That is Israel, because Christ is the Messiah of Israel. But then Paul says that we might receive adoption as sons. Who are the we? It's everybody else. Christ came for Israel, but He came for everybody. All us Gentiles. You can read whole chapters in the Bible where it says that we Gentiles are grafted in to the root, the branch that was Israel. And all that's telling us is we share the same faith in the same God. But we share it through the new covenant. And all those that believe in Him will receive, so that all who believe, we Gentiles, could be the sons and daughters of God Almighty. That is why that baby came on that night so long ago. Because of Christmas. Now, when I say Christmas now, I'm talking about the incarnational birth of the Son of God as a man. That's what I'm referring to right now. Because of Christmas, all who believe in and on Him receive the Spirit of God into our hearts by the gracious gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. You're saved by grace through faith. This is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Christ coming into the world is, not was, is a gift of God to all who will believe on His name. The Spirit that enters us causes we who believe in Christ to cry out unto God the Father, as Jesus did when He said, Our Father who art in heaven. And in doing this, we become the heirs of Christ. We become the adopted sons of God, where Christ is the actual physical, spiritual, and everything else Son of God, because He's God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. We, through faith, are adopted into the family of God. And we become heirs of God through Christ. This is why we celebrate the birth of Christ. What other gift is there in the universe greater than the knowledge that we are the sons and daughters of God? Not by a work of flesh, but by the work of God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Because God is perfect and Christ is perfect. That gift is perfect. Now it's up to us to accept it. We can't work for it. We certainly can't earn it. Why can't we earn it? Why can't we good enough? Because if you break one law, the Bible tells us in the book of James, you've broken the entire law of God. And you cannot, on your own, be righteous enough to be accepted by a perfect God. Well, then that means that we have to become perfect, does it not? How do we become perfect? When the Spirit of God enters us, when the Spirit of Christ enters us, let me put it to you this way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, He made Him who knew no sin, that's Christ, perfect, to become sin. That means the sins of the world was placed on Him so that we might become what? The sons of God. Brothers and sisters, that is why we celebrate Christmas. That is why I love to sing Christmas hymns on my own, not just when the local radio station kicks them in after Thanksgiving, or sometimes even before Thanksgiving. I like to sing them in the middle of March, in the middle of July, when I'm driving down the highway. Because it reminds me of the beauty of that infant and the beauty of the love that flowed from God that night to not only those recorded in God's Word, but to everyone who would believe on His name. And even to those who wouldn't, the opportunity, the love is there if they will but repent and believe the gospel. You see, that is the first sermon that Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Brothers and sisters, without that kind of heart, we cannot, or rather should I say, we will not understand the answer to the question, why Christmas? You know, one of the greatest privileges any Christian has is to lead another person to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as much as I love teaching the Word, as much as I love being friends, as much as I love proclaiming God's law of love and obedience, as much as I love presenting the truth to this congregation, the most important task and privilege that I have is to share Christ with an individual. I've had this opportunity many times in my life, from children to adults. When the gospel breaks through and faith is exercised, that is the reason for my and your work in the harvest. That's what we've been called to. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send workers out into the field, for the fields are ripe with harvest, is what we're told. And that is the reason I remember and celebrate the first coming of our Lord Jesus as we wait the return of our King. You know, last night at our Christmas Eve service, we partook of the Lord's Supper. It's a special time that does not need to become so commonplace that we put it off as just another empty ceremony. No, it needs to be a special time that we share symbolically the body and blood of Jesus and proclaim His death and resurrection until He returns. And as we remember His sacrifice, let us also remember the promise and the fulfillment of His first coming. Because brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, God doesn't change. And if He kept His promises about the first coming, He's going to keep His promises about His second coming. And that's what I'm looking forward to. You know, I love putting up the trees and putting on the lights and singing the songs. But I'm going to tell you what I'm looking forward to most of all is when I hear the trumpet call. When I hear that trumpet call, then all of this is going to be worth it. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when all His saints are gathered over on that on the shore, and when that roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will you? That's the question. Why Christmas? Because it gives us the opportunity to become on that roll. This is what we do when we celebrate Christmas. Do not let the world or even wrongly informed believers tell you it's wrong to remember and celebrate His birth. Y'all should see some of the things I have to read on, on these threads on the internet and Facebook and stuff with people who mean well, but they keep telling, well, if you celebrate the Lord a Christian, you're a pagan. If they would do any kind of investigation, they will see that what we do is not pagan. There are some traditions that came down from the early church, yes. But no, we celebrate the coming of the Lord. The things that we use, the candles, the trees, they're remembrances. They are not worthy worship objects. You know what we're going to do with the trees when we cut them down? We're going to use them as firewood and build furniture out of them. Well, not these. They're plastic, so you know. But real ones, that's what we do. It is a remembrance that God gives life, the evergreen. It's a symbol of life all the time. The candle, the light of the world, has come into the world. These are reminders. Do not let someone, however well-intentioned they may appear to be, tell you that you can't celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus. We can and we should. Because it is those times that the younger people, or even people who have never been around, they ask the questions, why Christmas? It is then that God gives us the opportunity to answer those questions in a biblically accurate way. It is always right to celebrate His coming. Joy to the world, we sang. The Lord is come. Isaac Watts wrote this hymn as an everyday celebration of the incarnation. How many knew that that was not written specifically as a Christmas hymn? That was a regular hymn. We just use it at Christmas. Isaac had it right. We should remember every day that God the Son became man so that man's sin would be paid for on the cross. The earth has received her king, but it has rejected Him because it loved darkness rather than light. Here is the Gospel of John. It was read earlier today, but I want to read a little more. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Were you made? You were made by and through the Lord. Let me continue. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's why Christmas. But let me continue. Talking about the believers, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this is He whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Why Christmas? Grace and truth. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, used to, when someone did something evil or naughty or bad, they tried to hide it. They ran off into a dark room or a dark alley or a dark bar or whatever. They didn't want other people to see them. And now the things that they hid then are done openly. And we are told we need to embrace those things. I ain't embracing a cotton-picking thing. The Lord gave what is right and what is wrong, and I will embrace what God said is good. Now, I'm guilty of sin, like every man and woman ever born. But my faith is not in my acts of righteousness, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for my sins. And it is Him that I'm going to bow before when I go before the throne on the day that I die. So brothers and sisters, this is what I propose as we begin to wrap up. I propose that those who do not want to remember the birth of our Savior love darkness rather than light, whether by a sin or by a perverted legalism. And they have been tainted by a love of darkness rather than a desire to celebrate the incarnation. But God forgives all sins, even those. And I pray and I propose that the Lord will enter their hearts and show them why Christmas. Why Resurrection Sunday? Why every day that we are privileged to gather together in His name to worship Him? Now folks, if you got to work, if you're in the hospital, I'm not talking about that stuff. But when you come down, well, I'd just rather sit at home and watch a football game and go out and scratch myself and spit tobacco on the porch, all that kind of stuff. Do not let the world... Some of y'all, when I said spit tobacco, y'all kind of grinned and laughed. I see y'all out there. When the world tries to replace God with itself, where is the world going to be when you're pushing up daisies? It's going to be right where it always was, trying to convince other people to forsake God. And you will be standing before God. And God is going to remind you of every opportunity He gave you to believe in Him. You want to believe what the world tells you? You go right ahead. But you don't blame God when judgment day comes. You don't blame your parents. You don't blame your preacher. You look in the mirror. Because God has given you every opportunity through them and many other ways to believe the truth. Why Christmas? Because God became flesh. Now, brothers and sisters, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Those choose who not to celebrate Christmas are not condemned for that reason. I've known families who something very terrible happened, like a suicide or a murder or a car crash or something on Christmas, and they can't celebrate Christmas the way the rest of us do, but yet they still have hope. You see, the hope we have is not in the holiday. It's not in the decorations. It's in Him who came on that day that we celebrate. If anyone is condemned, it is for rejecting Jesus Christ. John 3:18. Read it. However, it's sad to me that such a wonderful and gracious act and gift of God is God the Son becoming flesh, dwelling among us so we could see His glory, the glory of the one and only, that we could read His Word, we could read the entire Bible and learn from not only God's people and God's law, but from God Himself. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us celebrate the arrival of the Lord upon the earth. Let us sing joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let us wait with bated breath for His return, not just for the return of the Christmas season, because you know, next week when we put all the decorations up and we go back to our routines, some of you will start immediately looking for next year. And that's okay. Me, I usually wait till around August when it's like 115 degrees outside and 95% humidity. Then I start waiting for Christmas and the weather and the joy. Some of y'all like the pumpkin spice that comes out in October. I like the peppermint stuff that comes after Thanksgiving. That's more my speed. But I look forward to it. But let us not only look forward to it, let us enjoy right now in the presence of God and all His saints. Let us enjoy the gift of God, Christ the Lord, to His creation. Why Christmas? Christ. That's all. Praise team. Brothers and sisters, as wonderful as the Christmas season is, and it is, we had a wonderful time last night, amen? And we've had a good time this morning hearing God's word. At least I have. I didn't get any amens on that one. I better go back and check my sermon, see where I messed up. No, I'm kidding. But brothers and sisters, we have so much to look forward to. Now next week, we're going to be talking about new beginnings. Every New Year's sermon, we talk about new beginnings. But do you know, we don't have to wait till next week. You can have a new beginning right now. When you are forgiven by Christ, everything you've done against God is forgiven because of the cross. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I just can't forgive myself. Does the Bible call you to forgive yourself? I've never read that. The Bible says that Christ forgives and you are made new. And in that newness, you walk forward. In that newness, you embrace all that God has for you. Brothers and sisters, all we need is a childlike faith. But as we mature in our faith, we understand a lot of things may not go the way the world thinks it should go, may not go the way we think it should go. But we can understand it better, as the old song says, by and by. When we trust what God tells us through His Word, when we trust what God shows us through His Holy Spirit, when we see the miracle that is not only Christmas, but is the very breath we take, then we'll be able to understand not only by and by, but the right now.